Good morning, cutie. I hope your Sunday is peaceful. Today, I am creating a resource based on a patron request. So just a reminder that I do prioritize topics that patrons ask for. So if a specific topic would be helpful to you, please feel free to reach out to me on this platform or via email. If you prefer to message me on Instagram or TikTok, just be sure to mention that you're a patron because sometimes I don't connect the dots on that. Alrighty. So today I want to talk to you about uncoupling our emotional security from a sense of primacy. What does that mean? Basically, I see as one of the many goals of the work that we're always doing on ourselves is to separate our sense of safety from a feeling of superiority over others. I don't think it means we have to let go of totally deriving security from partnerships. I don't even necessarily think it means letting go of hierarchy, if that's how you're structured. But there are some key caveats to those statements, so let's dive in. Okay, so I'm going to start with the zooming out and talking about the topic of mononormativity as a whole before we then dive into a bit more of the interpersonal ways that we can unpack it between ourselves and people in our lives. Mononormativity refers to a society's rituals and laws that center monogamy as the norm. And importantly, it frames anything else as inherently deviant. Within a mononormative environment, there's often social forgiveness for non-monogamous who feel shame for their deviance, right? That's why you'll see people tolerate cheating in a marriage, but view consensual polyamory as the downfall of Western society. Also, I want to note that Western society is a euphemism for colonized and Christian society. The work of unpacking mononormativity is a long process. It's political work that should, in my opinion, center the voices of people whose ancestors were colonized and enslaved. Colonial expansion deliberately erased polygyny, polyandry, matriarchal polytheism, egalitarian non-monogamy, and other supposedly uncivilized ways of structuring a community, right? This erasure was, and still is, explicitly white supremacist. On that note, I recommend the work of Indigenous social psychologist at Anti-Mononormative, as well as at Marjani Lane. Both of those people on Instagram explore non-monogamous history centering Indigenous and Black experiences. I know this is an audio resource. I'll put those links in the Patreon. In terms of literature, I recommend A People's History of the United States by Zinn. It shares passages from colonizer logs that describe the non-monogamous communities they encountered, as well as their pretty calculated strategy to enforce monogamous Christianity. And Jorge Ferrer also wrote an academic article called Mononormativity, Polypride, and the Monopoly Wars, which is an example of research that is both critical and validating of non-monogamous perspectives. I try to seek out resources that embrace nuance and moral relativism rather than just seeing it as monogamy and non-monogamy are two monolithic poles, you know? Yeah, so there's a bit more texture in all of the resources I just mentioned. Anyway, so that is just a jumping off point for the foundational work. And I am leading with this because I do think that this broader philosophical and political work is necessary before we can really practice feeling a sense of security in our own lives that is not tied to a sense of superiority. Okay, so we've talked about the broader systems that we're going to continue to try to unsubscribe from, right? Let's unpack our personal need for primacy. One thing I don't want to do here is conflate the maladaptive pursuit of primacy with the act of just having a hierarchy, right? Like, I think that's how a lot of people wind up moralizing hierarchy as inherently harmful. There are plenty of people I know who are happy to be a secondary. Plenty of hierarchies I know that have flexibility, like, oh, you're feeling harmed? Let's negotiate different terms, right? However, when the pursuit of hierarchy is rooted in the unexamined belief that first place equals emotional security, that's when things get a bit shaky to me, right? So along with that position comes a host of other potentially harmful behaviors, like only welcoming metamors if they know their place, or trying to control partners' relationships out of your own fear of abandonment, or harassing or digitally stalking metas because you're feeling jealous, right? Like any polyamorous choice rooted from a place of fear is likely to have unintended consequences and hurt people, including yourself. So I want to make that distinction. People in non-hierarchies can also suffer from this. We can want a form of primacy too. It's usually a bit more compartmentalized, like, oh, I want to be the funniest. I want to be the sexiest. I want to be the only nesting partner or the only one you're going on a vacation with, right? Like, we can want non-hierarchy broadly, but still have this desire to be the best or only blank partner. So why is that? Well, beyond our broader social conditioning, there may be personal traumas that fuel this desire to be more important in order to feel safe, right? Maybe there was neglect in our families of origin or competition between siblings for a parent's time or attention. Like, it's unfortunately not rare for caregivers to act as if they have a favorite child or for kids to see their parent abandon them and then internalize that as a sign that they're not lovable enough. You know, I'm not a psychologist, obviously, so I can't really muse on all of the potential origins of these fears, but I just do want to validate that this mentality can absolutely be started right at home in our origin family, right? So if accessible, I encourage people to explore these deeper-seated issues with trusted professionals. That is not mandatory for progress, but in my experience, it can really streamline things and we can move through those fears a lot faster. Apart from that, you know, it's also very possible that present day factors are reinforcing these ideas. Like, maybe we're on a date with someone who feels the urge to compare us to their other partners, like as if they're still choosing between monogamous options. Maybe they claim non-hierarchy, but are demonstrably prioritizing someone over us. Like, there's merit in questioning whether a partner's actions are also creating a sense of scarcity, whether consciously or unconsciously. You know, I try not to assign intent, but rather just speak to what I'm experiencing. And then hopefully they will be collaborative in finding solutions with me on how to stop doing that. Overall, I think the main goal is to unlink the material expression of care with the notion of romantic safety. So sometimes material expression of love looks like cohabitation, joint finances, a marriage, you know, like these are longer term commitments that can give us a sense of safety in our relationships. And I think it's beautiful to do those things if you feel compelled to do so. But it can also come with this idea that as long as we're building something, they're not going anywhere. And that attitude, in my opinion, is kind of a capitalist one, right? Like conflating acquisition and growth with success. It can be why we overlook red flags or mistreatment, like, hey, we're accelerating, which means we're solid. It can be why our self-worth plummets after a breakup because, oh, we stopped building something together. What was that all for? What was the point, you know? And that attitude kind of ignores the reality that many breakups happen because one or more people need to grow in a way that the dynamic won't allow. So a breakup can actually be an important part of growth, and it doesn't invalidate all the work that you did prior. You know, this idea of having an end destination, I think, can harm even the people who do reach that destination. It's kind of missing the point of relating to others, is assuming that an external circumstance is a signifier of success rather than how we feel in that relationship and how we feel in ourselves and in our lives. So to that end, if I'm mainly feeling secure because I have a document that says I'm legally married, like maybe I risk staying in that marriage longer than feels right for me just because I fear losing that security. Maybe I risk looking down on a metamor, considering them less important, or I talk myself out of jealousy because they clearly aren't a threat, right, to that marriage. I don't want my external circumstance to be the foundation of my safety, because external circumstances can change for a myriad of reasons. So it's not a problem to pursue these things. Obviously, I've got a few of them too, you know, like I just think it's important to reckon with the fluidity of life. So I suppose all of that's a long way to say, like, don't worship escalation as superior and don't position de-escalation as inferior, because pausing, staying the same for years, or even winding things down can also define success. And if we struggle with viewing it this way, well, that sort of circles back around to unpacking capitalist, colonial, and white supremacist foundations of the society in which we live, right? So that's a lot of words. What do we do about it? Like, we're currently struggling with a desire for supremacy, this idea that if I'm not having a sense of primacy in some way, that I am then at risk. Basically, I see the path forward as one that consists of doing our own therapeutic work, our own conflict resolution work in our relationships, which very much includes self-advocacy if we feel like things are unjust or competition is being created by a hinge, as well as our personal work of unpacking our political and philosophical views of love. There is a dailiness needed for this work, in my experience. I can't just decide I feel safer or decide I'm no longer subscribing to white supremacist ideals, right? Like, there are layers to this. There are phases to this. It takes time, and it can move at an incredibly frustrating pace. But every time we engage with this work, every time we don't get defensive when someone says we're doing it again, every time we question, is my security coming from within me and within our love, or is it coming from external signifiers? Like, every time we do this, we move a little closer to a reality where we can feel safe no matter how our relationships look. Anyway, those are my thoughts today on the topic. You know, as always, I'm not an academic. This isn't a research paper, but it is something that I've been thinking about a lot lately, and I was so happy when a patron requested it. So please reach out if you would like something similar, and you can also request what format it is in, written or audio or video. I'm happy to accommodate that as well. I'm sending you lots of love. I hope you have a beautiful week, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.